2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Today we are headed to Pebble Beach, California for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. This will be taking place at three courses, so this is the third event in a row where we'll have multiple courses in play. We'll have the Spyglass Hill Golf Club, Pebble Beach, of course, the iconic course itself. That will also be the championship course where they play on Sunday. And Monterey Peninsula, which is the par 71 of the group. The other two are, now, they are all under 7,000 yards. And you'd think that would make them pretty easy, especially with the very wide fairways. They actually have some extremely wide fairways, some of the widest on tour. But it's not the case. They actually play, Pebble and Spyglass both play about a half a stroke over par. Monterey Peninsula plays about a third of a stroke under par. And it's kind of weird considering how short these courses are and them being par 72s. But the wind does pick up pretty well around here, and the greens are actually really teeny tiny. Hard to hit a lot of these greens. In fact, the greens at Pebble Beach are only 3,500 square feet on average, which is the second or third smallest greens on tour. So approach just matters a lot here. We pulled up last year's data, what data correlated with finishing results the most, and actually the number one statistic so far is greens and regulation percentage, followed by strokes gained approach, and then a few other approach metrics. I mean, it's all about approach this week, and there is a clear, it's pretty obvious that driving distance matters more than driving accuracy this week. And it's by a significant margin, too. So it is quite the bomber's course. That's pretty, that was pretty obvious from the get-go with, you know, how freakishly wide the fairways are. You know, a lot of these holes actually play a lot longer, a lot shorter than they are, because every other approach shot or tee shot is like, has a huge elevation difference. We see some par threes that are way downhill. We see some, like for example, there's a par five at Pebble where the second shot is extremely elevated and you really can't hit anything but the fairway, but it's just so like massive. And you basically hit it onto the second hill for your second shot on a par five. So it seems like one that people can get into, but with the elevation being so extreme, it's really hard for people to do that. So we can expect about a pretty good amount of eagles. All three of the courses give out their fair share of eagles. We just won't see a lot of birdies on the course, actually. At Monterey Peninsula, it does give up some birdies. It's a little easier, but Spyglass and Pebble are pretty on the stingy side of the birdie numbers here. And they actually put up quite a good amount of bogeys and double bogeys. Their bogey percentage is about 16-17%, which is top 10 on tour, actually, in bogey percentage. The stimp meters are extremely slow. These are some very soft greens, only 10.5 on the stimp, which is about as low as the PGA Tour goes as far as the stimp meter. So these Poa Nui greens are quite soft, can be very easy, very slow to putt on. As we've seen from the numbers, the statistic that matters the least when it comes to deciding, correlating with finishing position, and that would be stroke gain putting. So it's a course for putting, really doesn't matter all that much. Kelly Kraft almost won here last year, and he putted like crap. Same could be said for Jason Day, Sung Yul No, Kevin Kisner especially. They did very well here last year, finished top 10. All were amongst the bottom of the field in putting. So you could definitely make up for being a poor putter here. We're really looking at approach stats first and foremost, and then Distance more than accuracy. It is a bomber's course, but it's not going to be the first thing you look at. The approach game is just really important this week, like it is every week, but especially important this week. Very, very important. So the format for this event, again, is they will play each of the courses once, and then they will have a cut after 54 holes or 3 days, and then go to Pebble Beach on Sunday for the championship round. It's exactly like the Career Builder, except cooler courses, more celebrities. We're going to get a handful of celebs. They're not on DK for whatever reason. Can't go punting Bill Murray, but I think that's because they only play the pro-am portion of the event. They only get like two rounds in. But we'll see that throughout the coverage this week, of course. They always love to zoom in on Larry the Cable Guy trying to chip in for double bogey, especially when there's a cut sweat going on. So you get to enjoy all that. But as far as DFS goes, we have a very strong, very packed field. Led off, of course, by Dustin Johnson, V-Bomber, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day. You're seeing a theme here. All the bombers came out to play. They saw these 40-yard-wide fairways, and it's like, heck yeah. But it is Pebble Beach. Everybody loves going to Pebble Beach. I mean, it's one of the most iconic golf courses that there is. And then you've got your defending champion at only $10,700. Very cheap off the missed cut is your Jordan Spieth. And last week's winner, Gary Woodland, a good $1,000 cheaper than the rest of them. So the studs are very, very concentrated this week. DJ, Rahm, Rory, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, the big five. Those are going to be the core of pretty much everyone's lineup construction. DJ, Rahm, Jason Day, and Jordan Spieth, and Woodland for that matter. They all finished top five here last year. So last year you absolutely needed to go studs and duds because all these guys costed a pretty penny. I think I remember John Rahm still being kind of cheapish. He was like the chalk, especially coming after his win at the Farmers a couple weeks before this. And yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty freaking good. But let's just talk about these studs here real quick. You got Dustin Johnson, the multiple winner here at this event, won back in 2010, 2009, third here last year, fourth in 2015, runner-up in 2014. He's pretty good. He won the Tournament of Champions last time we saw him stateside. Well, I guess not really stateside, but, well, not continental at least, but he was still stateside, actually. And since then, the only thing he's really done is he went to Abu Dhabi, where he finished T2 last year. Tried to get a win there, ended up finishing T9. Pretty good. But that course is 800 yards longer than this one. But driving distance still important, and that's his calling card there. He's a 7-1 favorite. Rahm, Day, Spieth, and Rory are all around 11-1 or so. So DJ is a clear favorite in the field. This is one of his best courses. If you ask people to drive it long and you don't have any, or you have like very wide fairways to bail them out, I mean, that's just asking for you to play Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, these guys, you know, all driving distance, all no driving accuracy. Who cares about stupid driving accuracy anyway? Although DJ's gotten a lot better than that. As far as that goes, he's just an off the tee monster. His driving actually worked its way to around average, and his driving distance, of course, is just elite. He's probably going to be the chalk along with, and I see Day getting pretty popular. I know his ownership hadn't been that hot going into it, but with him, you know, winning back in the Farmers, I think he's going to be very popular, especially with his course history here. Really, any of the top four guys, they all have great course history, and they're all in pretty good form outside of Spieth, who just missed a cut. But for $10,700, you'd imagine that Spieth would get a little ownership here, especially being the defending champion and all. I mean, last week we saw Ricky Fowler coming off of a very similar situation where he had missed the cut by a stroke, just like Spieth here, and he's going into an event where he always does well. And so we saw Fowler become the chalk for that reason last week, and I think that we're going to see something similar this week. Spieth being the fifth most expensive golfer on the board, you don't see that ever. So that alone is going to make people roster him. The thing like Fowler last week where he's coming off of a barely missed cut and people thinking that's sneaky, probably also going to be a factor here. So, of these five studs, I like Rory the most because he's going to be the lowest owned. Pretty sure about that. Day and Spieth are going to get their fair share of ownership, and Rahm, you know, Rahm's just been a freaking beast lately. I think he's going to continue to collect ownership, but a lot of people are going to be going to DJ with that incredible course history, and just, you know, when people think Bombers course, they think DJ, as they should. But, I mean, Rahm's not that far off, honestly. He's only $300 cheaper, but I guess he would count as a poor man's Dustin Johnson. How about an upper middle class man's Dustin Johnson? but nonetheless, pick your poison out of the top five. It doesn't really take much hard analysis to tell you that the best golfers are good at golf. Gary Woodland is fresh off of a win, and his form is just stellar right now, and he's coming to a course where he finished T5 last year. Always been long off of the tee, and his approach game is just lights out right now. I'd continue riding it with Woodland. He was at a course that he wasn't even all that great at last week, and he just killed it. Edged out Chez in that playoff. Woodland's, he's $9,900 now, so almost going to pay five digits for the guy, but he had been underpriced for so long. Now it seems like he's about priced correctly, especially if you're going by the Vegas odds to pricing. He's like right about where he needs to be. And it's hard to take him when you could pay $800 more for Jordan Spieth, at least on DraftKings. But he has just been just so rock solid the last like year or so. And then the last three tournaments, you've seen him first, 12th, and 7th. Very high upside here. And of course, you saw last year he killed at this course. So, I mean, you can go with him. I'd probably roll him more in cash than anything. But it's going to be hard to not go studs and scrubs this week, honestly. Phil Mickelson also has pretty good course history here, $9,600. 5th place last week. It's nice to see him playing well. I think we're going to see him playing some pretty good golf until the major season, honestly. He tends to kill the Texas swing and the Florida swing. And last year, you saw him start the season off by making his first 20 cuts. I think he's going to be good. And he has 4 top 10 finishes here in his last 6 times. Out at Pebble Beach, one back in 2012. So I don't really love me some Phil, because I know he's always going to be popular because he's a popular name. That's why it's hard for me to ever really load up on the guy. But I mean, I could definitely see using him in GPP. In the weekend formats, I always like using Phil. Paul Casey at 9,400 has not played in a while. I don't think he's played this year. I think he played Abu Dhabi, but he didn't play. He hasn't played on the PGA Tour at all yet this year. Paul Casey is a beast. Let's get that out there for anyone that doesn't know. I think his DraftKings log is empty right now, but it should be noted that Paul Casey is a beast. Now, I could just say that, but let me show you why. Exactly why Paul Casey is such a beast. Last year, this man played 25 events. He's played 25 events since the beginning of 2017. Only one miscut in that span. That was the very first event. Since then, he's made 24 cuts in a row. 24. Since missing the cut at the Sony Open and burning everyone, by the way. That one event, which came after a FedEx Cup, which saw him finishing second, fourth, and then just for the heck of it, followed up a third at the Safeway Open shortly after that. Missed the first cut of the year in the Sony Open. That's been the only missed cut we've seen from this guy in like a year and a half. He's a top 10 machine. Finished top 10 over there at Abu Dhabi. He hasn't finished outside of the top 20 in his last 5 events that he's played. He hasn't played much, but he's so steady. He's a beast. He is just a beast. He doesn't win tournaments, but man, the guy is a beast. He's a cut machine. He's like a... He's a rich man's Matt Kuchar, pretty much, honestly, because he always makes the cut, and he has so much top 10 upside, he just doesn't win. So I like him a lot. I like him in GPP, cash, everywhere this week. His odds are a little bit better than Phil Mickelson, even though he's a little cheaper. He is heftily priced on DraftKings, or on FanDuel. So even then, I'd probably still take him there because he's going to be even lower owned. But I definitely like Casey a lot this week for that empty game log. And I would say the same thing about Brendan Grace, but anyone that's playing on DraftKings will see his Euro game log and be like, whoa, got to play Brendan Grace. He's appropriately priced. Sometimes we'll see him a little lower price than he should be with being a Euro guy and all, but yeah, he's just in really good form. Anyone that sees that game log would be like, whoa, nice. And he is a really good golfer. He's like a world top 15 golfer, usually. He's just not going to be as sneaky as you'd think. I'd play him on FanDuel, honestly. $11,000 on FanDuel. They don't have his game log from Euro in there. I don't think many people are going to play him at all. I love him on FanDuel. Patrick Cantlay, another guy I love this week. He still never missed a cut. I think he's 19 for 19 cuts made since rejoining the PGA Tour last year. He is also a beast. You could honestly like start a cash lineup like Casey, Kuchar, Cantlay right here in this range, and that'd just be sick because those three guys aren't missing a cut. They never do. Cantlay, he actually, back in 2013, back when he was a amateur rookie before he had that injury, finished ninth here. And last year he finished T48. So he's made 2 for 2 cuts here. Very nice to see. He is a beast, just overall. I've said that a lot about a lot of people, but all of your beasts are showing up for this tournament. It's great. So love me some Cantlay. Right after that's Kuchar. I don't even need to do analysis on Kuchar anymore. I've pretty much told you guys, like, if you want a guy to make the cut, just play Kuchar. If you want to play a guy in cash, just go Kuchar. I had pulled up a stat, like, over the last, I think it was, like, the last 8 years, like, Kuchar has made, like, 3 times as many top 10 finishes as missed cuts. He's a machine. Just absolutely a machine. Play Kuchar in cash. Just every single week play Kuchar in cash. Adam Scott. This is the first time we've seen this guy in a while. He hasn't been looking too hot over the last year, honestly. Last year around this time, like around the time of the Valspar or so, he was winning tournaments left and right. We haven't seen him much. We saw him last at the WGC event. He finished almost near the back end. We know historically he is an approach monster. He led the PGA Tour in approach like multiple years in a row. Right now the numbers we have from are not too hot. Nine tournaments sample size, and it looks like his approach game has gotten away from him. Just a pure off the tee driving distance kind of bomber. And that's what we've always known about Scott. Very, very pretty looking shot. Always been a good bomber. But on FanDuel, he's priced ridiculously. You can go ahead and play him there if you want. No one's going to own him. I think a lot of us are just going to kind of wait and see what we see with Scott here. He's usually very safe for making cuts, like very safe, but it's been so long since we've seen him. Might give him a little bit of time. He doesn't even have course history here. So this is not a usual stop that he makes. Pat Perez at $8,600. He is going to be, I don't want to say V-chalk, but pretty chalky. This is a tournament that he has very good course history at, and for the last like year or so, he has been a cut-making monster. So $8,600, you know, his odds to pricing are very off. Pat Perez, going to be a very popular name. Going to start going through this a little faster now. I mean, we have a 150-person field here. Hadley will be popular after last week, and there's a couple of top 10s at this course. James Hahn, I had him last week in a pretty beastly lineup. That dude is just a Sunday machine. If he makes a cut, he's going to be there on Sunday, I swear. And I don't think he's missed a cut yet all season. He's played all 4 events, 11th, 45th, 36th, and 2nd. So kind of low-key pretty good, but odds to pricing are way off here. Not many people are going to play him. Or Bo Hostler, $8,300. What a price jump out of nowhere. He's also going to be owned by nobody, despite having pretty good recent form. He missed the cut at this event last year. It's just weird to see him jump up in price so much for a rookie. Kisner and Snedeker represent a lot of value here in the low $8,000 range. Their odds to pricing stick out like a lot. Snedeker, 4th last year, 2-time winner, 1-13 in 2015. Not sure why he's so cheap, but he's been good his last few events, and he's going to be very popular. Kevin Kisner, will not be as popular, but he's also pretty undervalued here in my book. I like him a lot. He finished top 10 here last year, despite putting like shit. Chez Reavie, he's definitely the poor man's Matt Kuchar at this point. He just makes all the cuts. And last week we saw his upside. He almost freaking won. So that's exciting. And he kind of busted open the course history angle last week as well. He had 3 missed cuts in a row in that event, and he didn't give a shit. He almost won. And he has now made 19 cuts in a row. The guy's on fire. He's only $8,100 or $8,000 here. Play him in cash and go from there. I don't see him being too popular because Brant Snedeker is like $100 more expensive than him. And the same goes for Patrick Reed. He's $100 cheap, but Chez is 50-1. These guys are like 35-1, Snedeker and Reed. So if you're looking at odds to pricing, they stick out a lot more than Chez does here. But I do like Chez in cash. I think a lot of people will. You just ride this train until he misses a cut. My God, he just does not stop. Patrick Reed will be very chalky. I think he might be one of the highest owned guys. And I'm not sure if one of the, like, there are some, the studs are so spread out that they might actually not end up being, like, the chalk. I think Reed might actually hit that point. 2 good tournaments in a row for Reed, 2 top 25 finishes in full field events. And he's never finished worse than the top 30 here. 23rd last year, 6th the year before. 5 years in a row where he's finished top 25 or top 30 at this event. And, yeah, kind of coming into form a little bit on tour, and only $7,900, that is extremely cheap for Patrick Reed. So, we're going to see that price getting adjusted real quick. It's kind of obvious that DraftKings really puts a lot of ownership into their pricing model for the following week. Because guys that are undervalued but just don't collect a lot of ownership, they tend to stay a little cheap. Kevin Chappell, $7,900. I like his statistical setup for the course. He's had a few good tournaments in a row. I think he could go he's a very good pivot off of Patrick Reed here. He's going to get about half the ownership. But really has about just as much of a chance of doing good as Reed, I'd say. Bubba, no one really cares about him. I kind of like Watney at $7,700, but my God, did his price go up. Very good at this tournament. So, same price, Jimmy Walker. He's also very good at this tournament, but I don't trust his form whatsoever. He's just not the same golfer anymore since he came out and said he had Lyme disease. He hasn't had any high upside finishes since his PGA Championship victory. Shane Lowry is underpriced at $7,500. Very good course history here in his 3 times he's played. Paul Dunn at $7,500 also. He's a Euro name. Someone who makes a lot of cuts on the European Tour. But we've only seen him playing with American guys once in the last, like, year. That was the World Golf Championship over the swing season. Finished 38th out of 70. I mean, on DraftKings, people will play him, and nobody will play him on FanDuel. Kind of similar to some of your other European golfers, you know, similar to Brandon Grace there. He has a pretty good-looking game log, although it is European Tour, you know, European Tour events, so it's not quite as hard. Lowry has Lowry missed the cut at the Farmers pretty badly. Finished 124th. And then last week just barely made the cut and didn't do anything with it. Just kind of went backwards from that point. So I don't see him being too popular, even though his odds to pricing stick out a lot. He's around the same as J.B. Holmes. If you go $100 down, $7,400, J.B. Holmes would be popular. Very good course history. Missed the cut last week, and really outside of that 4th place finish at the Farmers, hasn't done much this year, but he is a super bomber. His driving distance has always been up there. Hasn't been up there as much recently. Not like the 320-yard upside that we've seen from years past, but he can still bomb it. Especially at a course like this where you can just let loose, not have to worry about missing fairways. A super sneaky guy for GPP I do like is Aaron Baddeley, $7,400. 6 straight cuts made here, 3 top 12 finishes looks like. 26 last year. or not last year, last week at the Waste Management. He's someone that absolutely sprays it off of the tee. Like, his driving accuracy is pitiful, like horrible, one of the worst on tour. But outside of that, he's like a good putter, really a solid overall player, good scrambler kind of guy. But at a course like this, I think that he can kind of come into play here. And this is just like a, you know, 0.3% owned kind of shot to take here. But I do like Aaron Baddeley. $7,300, you got a few obvious value plays. You've got the chalk in Charlie Hoffman. $7,300 for a guy that's made, let's see here. Yeah, he has made 22 out of his last 23 cuts. Guy is a cash game monster. Even though statistically it doesn't seem like someone could be that great in cash, but man, 22 out of 23 straight made cuts and only cost $7,300. Could say the same thing for Streelman here, who I actually like as the pivot play off of Hoffman. He's made 9 straight cuts and a lot of top 30 finishes in that span too. I know Hoffman does as well. I think Hoffman's just going to be a lot more popular. But Streelman, I like more. I actually like playing him more in cash than I would Hoffman, actually. Now, he's always like someone I target for my cash games. I don't know if he really has the GPP upside. Maybe I would just like shove in Hoffman and GPP and Streelman in cash, even though Hoffman's going to be the more chalky one. Just because of how they play. At $7,100, the guy that'll stick out here would be Chris Kirk. His form is pretty good now. I don't think this is actually a great course for Kirk because he's not long. Kind of depends on his driving accuracy. Same goes for a guy I would like here a lot, $7,100 as well, Steve Stricker. He's like the super version of that, but he tends to do well at courses he's not supposed to, even though he's, you know, his game is really obvious. He's all about driving accuracy, no distance to speak of. But his approach game is so good. And he just kind of has like that old man game about him where he can hang out on the cut line and stuff. You know, at tougher courses, you kind of want to target the guys that aren't going to birdie a ton, just kind of keep it honest. But I don't think he has the GPP upside that's needed. Finished T23 last year and 31st last week. But Stricker, I'm going to wait until he hit more of an accuracy course before I start pounding you. Because I still think he's going to be sneaky even after this week. Of all the guys, $7,000 and cheaper this week, which you're going to need a ton of with all the studs in play. I think the most popular punt of everyone this week is going to be Austin Cook. Just a disrespectful price by DraftKings. FanDuel put him at $10,000, but DraftKings has Cook at $7,000. Not sure why Bo Hostler is the rookie that gets to be $1,300 more expensive here in this situation, but Cook has considerably better straight-up odds to win. He has a win on tour this season, and he's yet to miss a cut. 8 for 8 in cuts made, and no finishes worse than... Well, he finished 50th at the OHL, but if you look past Canadian events and only look at American events here, his worst finish was last week with the T31 at the Waste Management. He's had a very, very good rookie season. You could say the same for Brandon Harkins and his price as well. He missed the cut by a stroke last week, but I think he makes for a great pivot because his form is just as good as Cook's, I think, honestly, outside of last week. Scott Piercy also at $7,000. His odds are more in line with Cook's than Harkins here, but he did miss the cut by 2 strokes last week, and his course history here isn't that great. But outside of that, he's been really good. He's turned his career around a little bit. Last year, he was awful, but he was injured. His injury looks like it has passed him this week, so we should be playing Piercy a lot this year. Now, let me finish this off real quick. So I have a 2-year-old banging at my door. $6,900. There are 3 guys here with some pretty obvious value. Actually, 4. One's a little sneaky. The guy I like the most, Jason Kokrak, $6,900. 84 to 1 odds. I know not as good as RCB or DeChambeau over here with their They're 70-1 odds, but this is why I like Kokrak a lot. He has a great course fit. His form is low-key pretty good. His course history is low-key really good. And with Rafael Cabrera-Bello and Bryson DeChambeau sitting there with odds that look a little bit better than Kokrak, Kokrak is not a popular golfer like to begin with. So I think that he is going to be overlooked by Bryson and Cabrera-Bello here, and I like him better than those two, actually. Cabrera-Bello is going to be the chalk. It's just like I said with Don and Grace earlier. On DraftKings, people will see his game log and go, fuck, that guy is good. He has a very, very good-looking European game log right now. On FanDuel, he's priced very appropriately. $6,900 on DraftKings, but $10,200 on FanDuel. And, yeah, he's not going to be popular there at all. I would play him on FanDuel and fade him on DraftKings, actually. Then Bryson DeChambeau, I really don't like playing him ever. He missed the cut last week. Finished 115th at the Farmers before his 5th place last week at the Waste Management. He kind of tends to do that. He finished, like, top 20 or, like, bottom 20. That seems to be the thing with him. So, it kind of makes him a GPP play from the get-go. I don't know. I just don't like him a ton. I prefer Vaughn Taylor. His odds aren't quite up there, but he won this event 2 years ago. And the year before, finished top 10. We saw him finishing T11 last week at the Waste Management. Missed two cuts at the Career Builder and the Sony, but they weren't by very much. And if you go back into the swing season, he also had a couple of top 10 finishes. So the upside has been there, for sure. And it's hard to tell why. I mean, statistically, he is one of those guys we have a ton of data on because he plays a lot. But he's really just been like a driving accuracy kind of guy. I guess pretty good at approach and stuff around the green, but nothing that'll really make your head spin. This is just a course that he just seems to like for whatever reason. I know he missed the cut here last year, but he does have that winning upside, and he's going to be owned by nobody. And I don't know, I'm just seeing a lot of top 10s from him, and I like that. And then $6,800 and cheaper is when it gets really hard to roster a guy. Matt Jones has great course history here, but his form is trash. McGirt is the odds play here, I guess, but he's missed missed last week's cut, and then at the Sony, where he's supposed to have a great course history, he just barely made the cut and floundered. But yeah, for me, it's hard to like anyone at $6,800. At $6,700, we get Russell Knox, who missed the cut by a stroke last week. I've been saying missed the cut by a stroke last week, but I think he actually just made the cut and finished last of everyone that made the cut. I keep seeing 73, and I think that they must have barely missed the cut. But actually, he made the cut, just barely got past the point of an MDF, but didn't do anything over the weekend whatsoever. But yeah, Russell Knox had been really solid form before then. Three top 30 finishes at the Sony Career Builder and Farmers Insurance Open. At $6,700, he's obviously super underpriced here. So I'll have me a little bit of Knox. He's kind of going to be the go-to punt for a lot of people if they have to go way, way down here. And then at $6,600, you see even more options I think people are going to go with. Graham McDowell. His course history here is limited, but it's very good. In 2014, he finished T7. And then in 2010, he won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. $6,600, that price is a little disrespectful. I know he'd been dabbling in some European tour. We haven't seen him stateside since the RSM Classic, where he missed the cut, and the Shriners, where he finished T10. But $6,600. If you want to play guys like DJ, you gotta have some McDowell. You also see Russell Henley, who's super underpriced, like incredibly underpriced. I mean, this is a guy who was in the 9,000s to start the year. Now he's $6,600. He's not that bad. This long term, of all the people like in this in this bottom range. He probably has the best long-term form. So I would play Henley. I would play Horschel, 6,600 as well. He hasn't even missed a cut this year. And for some reason, he's only $6,600. So Horschel, Henley, McDowell, love all these plays. Really like Horschel. I don't know why, but I don't think people are going to be using him. And he really should be used with his price. And then dead bottom of the field, there's $6,500. There's nobody worth playing, simply put. So that kind of does it here for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I've got to hurry up and get out of here, but thank you guys for listening. I'll be back next week for the Genesis Open, where I'll tell you guys to play KJ Choi. Until then, this is Taco. Hope you guys have a good week and have fun at the Pebble, man. Enjoy watching Charles Barkley gank in the fairways. You can hear I got a two-year-old knock at me, so I got to get out of here. See you guys. Good luck this week.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.